Morning, everyone. We are in John 15, finishing John 15 today, verses 26 and 27. John 15, 26 and 27. Bearing witness. What is that? Got the dictionary definition. To show that something exists or is true. Bearing witness. Do we do this? And the answer is yes. In almost every aspect of our lives, we do this, right? Something exists or is true. Vehicles, you guys all got that brand you argue for, right? Vehicle brands, one's always better than the other. Probably got someone in your house or family that tells you it can only be one. Phones, Android or iPhone, right? One's always superior. Sports. Those teams, your favorite teams, we argue that. They are the greatest. Here are the reasons. I don't see any UK gear on this morning.
They did win yesterday.
They did win. Food. There's greatest food, right? This is the best food ever. Here's why. The best place to get it. Bigfoot. Anyone argue for Bigfoot's existence or truth?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He's in spots too.
Do we do this for our faith? That's a different question, right? Do we do this for Jesus? Bear witness. Jesus is going to tell us this morning that we must be his witnesses, and we will look for the why in three parts. In two parts. The helper bears witness, and we bear witness. John 15, verse 26 and 27. Let's stand as we read God's word together. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning together. We thank you for your holy word. Help us see it as every word on every page is for us, for our benefit, for our training up, for our growth, for our ability to press out into the world. With that on our hearts this morning, help us dive in together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Where are we in this grand storyline of the Gospel of John? Well, we're in chapter 15, right? The last part, the last two verses. Jesus continuing to teach his disciples here and us while the cross comes into focus for him. We're still on that Thursday night, and we're headed to the garden where he will be arrested. Friday, he will be crucified. Now, the question you may be more concerned with is why only two verses this morning? Maybe that's concerning to you. Does this mean short sermon? Does this mean really long? Let's find out together. The helper bears witness. On our pages this morning is a glimpse. It's a snapshot. It's a peek at what has been done for us. It's also a look at the reason that we are here. The reason we have faith. The reason we've been granted another day to bear witness. First, the Spirit here. I want us to see that the Holy Trinity of God is on our pages this morning. It's not hard to see, right? The helper that I send from the Father. There they are. Some hold that the Trinity is made up. It's not Bible, it's not Scripture. They are correct in saying the word Trinity is not in Scripture. It's not there. It's a theological term to describe the nature and relationship of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's where it comes from. The Word is not present, but the three are. You've heard me say this many times before. The Father sent the Son, and the Son sacrificed, and then the Son returned to the Father and sent the Spirit to us. It took all three of them, the fullness of God in three persons. It took the Creator and Sustainer of everything. It took them all to save you and to save me. We were fallen and sinful, and it took perfection. It took righteousness. It took sinlessness to return us to God. Our faith because of Him, because of them, because of God. There are an abundance of references to the Father and the Son and the Spirit in this gospel alone, and there are words used to describe all three. Now, they all three have a different set of descriptors unique to them, but there are words used to describe all three of them together as well. Examples can be found in just looking at John, which we've been doing for some time now. These are to give life. That's in reference to all three across these pages. To proclaim future, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all three proclaim future. To indwell believers, to teach, to testify, to glorify. All three of the Godhead said to do these things just in John. The adjectives used to describe them overlap because they are one. They've also specifically seen the Holy Spirit here being lifted up in this gospel, specifically the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important to our lives. No eternal life apart from the Spirit. No heart change. No repentance and turning to God without the Spirit of God working in you. That's how important, and we've looked at how to know if you're indeed dwelled by this Spirit, and that was simple. It's a simple thing to look for that. Have you repented and believed? Who is Jesus to you? What does your life declare? Answer these and you will know. What do our gospel verses this morning say about this Spirit? Well, verse 26 says this: "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me." So this helper for all who believe, this bringer of truth who proceeds from the Father and is sent by the Son and is equal to both, will do what? Bear witness about Jesus. And we need to see the word will used here. Will, that's definite. Not if you let it, not if you agree, not if the world accepts it, will bear witness to Jesus. How? And how is this different than the Spirit we see acting in, say, the Old Testament, or the Spirit upon Jesus, or the 12 before Pentecost in Acts 2? Pentecost, Acts 2, is the full coming of the Spirit to the believer, but the Spirit doing work before, we know that, has always been. So what's the difference today? Maybe first, what are the similarities? Two things that has always been happening according to the Spirit. First thing, spiritual warfare. That is fought all around you all the time, and there's plenty of biblical examples for this. One of my favorite ones, I don't know why, it's Balaam and his donkey. In Numbers 22, do we know that story? It goes like this. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, he turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You've made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." Pause there. My first response would be, "You could talk." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Balaam was about to do something God didn't want him to do. He was angry about it. Spiritual warfare. The spiritual, always around us. We've been looking at this quite a bit in Daniel as we walk through it on Wednesday nights. Just a discussion. We've been looking at it. Daniel chapter 10 says this. "Then he said," the "he said" here is Gabriel. We know that name. "Do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince." Michael, seemingly the angel of Israel. Gabriel, another angel here. Fighting against princes, not men princes. Other spiritual leaders of these other empires coming against the people of God. Spiritual warfare all around us, and yet we walk around almost unaware, almost ignorant to what is going on and what is at stake. What do I mean? Everyone take a deep breath in. That was a gift from God. That was a gift from God, protected by God through His armies in the spiritual warfare. Of course, that means there is another army that did not want you to have that breath. Can you feel the weight of that? Now, expand that out to everything in your life, every decision, good or bad. Every reward or consequence, every giving in to sin or victory over it, everything, all a part of the war. The war that has Satan desperately seeking a foothold in your life, the same war we ignore. The war that we think is not happening, or we think we can win on our own. I had a good day because of me. Laughable. We absolutely need the Spirit in this war. Second thing that this Spirit is still doing today versus throughout time is its attachment. It's being tied to people of faith. It is a misnomer to think that the people of Israel were the people of God because they were Jewish. That's not it. They were chosen by God and they were made Jewish by God, but their Jewishness was not the reason they were His. What reason? Faith. Look at the story of the plagues of Egypt and their freedom. The last of those plagues being the death of the firstborn, that plague was not limited to the Egyptians. It was limited to those who did not follow the instructions of God. By faith, you either killed the Passover lamb and took the hyssop branch and dipped it in the blood of the lamb and then put it on your doorpost and above your door, or you did not. Not by your Jewishness or righteousness or family heritage were you saved, but by faith in the blood of the lamb. That should sound familiar. Amen. Jesus, now that lamb. So the two similarities that the Spirit has always had in comparing historically to today is its importance in spiritual warfare and its attachment to the people of faith. What is the difference in our text this morning? What is the difference with the Spirit of God today? The Spirit of God not only works on your behalf, not only works with your faith, but it does these things from within you. That's what our text points to this morning. That's what our New Testament writers point to. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. So when we say that the Spirit of God bears witness about the Son of God, it's no longer through the plagues. It's not through the burning bush. It's not through the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Now the Spirit still does do these things, miraculous things. The Spirit does bear witness through the Holy Word of God. It's the Word of God that is the power of God to save, and it's pushed out, revealed, and known by the Spirit, but also. And even more than these things is this. The Spirit of God bears witness about Jesus through you. Through me. So the first question is always, do you claim faith in the Son? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you found yourself in need of Him? That's the Spirit within. Do you have it? Lean in. Then we bear witness. Verse 27. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Lots of things to see and hear in this verse, even though it's short. First, the context. He's talking to the disciples, right? The ones who have been following Him, the ones who are currently following Him into the garden where He will be arrested. But He also speaks to us. The very Word of God for salvation and instruction for all who believe. So with that in mind, let's see His words. You also will bear witness. Will meaning it will happen. There it is again. Definite. Same as before with the Holy Spirit, will be sent to all who believe. As definite as the Trinity on your behalf is the fact that you will bear witness. What a connection. You being the disciples on our pages, and you being all who believe. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And this is no different than anything else in our life that we claim is important to us. We bear witness to all sorts of things in our life. We listed a few at the top. Sports fans wear the gear, right? You know who their teams are. Hunters do too. You know if they hunt or not, especially this time of year. You see that concert, you tell someone about it, right? You go to the game and everyone knows where you were. You learn some new stat or some important information, something important to you, then you tell them, you share it, right? I learned something the other day about teenagers. Yell down the hall to do the dishes and they never heard you speak, right? They were too far away or their door was shut, their headphones were on, right? Something happened. Some disconnect. With everyone in their same locations, you can merely whisper that dinner is done. And you'll get run over. I had one standing next to me that pointed it out. No way they heard that. Oh, there we are. Must be the physics of the sound and how it bounces around our house, I think. But I learned that, and I've now told you. It is no different, and even actually more important and more urgent that you share the fact that you met your Savior. Vastly more important than that thing you just did or that person you just met is to share the news that moved you from sinner condemned to sinner saved. The news that moved you from hell to heaven. Nothing more important than that. So, all believers have the Spirit. And all believers, while working with this Spirit, will bear witness. Why? Just because this book told you to? For the Bible tells them so. Or your family has told you to, or because you think you should do, right? You have faith, so now on to the next checkbox. What am I supposed to do now? No, not even close. So why? Many reasons. You are now His. You are now new. You have this Spirit within you now. The same Spirit in the creation of everything now finds its home within you. I want us to focus in on the one reason given in our text this morning. It says, because you have been with me from the beginning. And we've been speaking a dual context in our passage, and that dual context is the moment with our disciples here, right? Him speaking to them and also to all who believe. So with this in mind, take a look at from the beginning. When looking at the disciples, this seems pretty clear to us, right? Those who have been with Him, those who were called to follow Him, those who have had real, tangible, soul-saving relationships with Him on this earth, those are from the beginning and will bear witness. That's the group. They are His. He's shown them the miraculous, and He has taught them, and He has sent them, and He has even revealed what's coming to them. They've been with Him, and as a result of being with Him, they will bear witness. Many examples to that on these pages. What about us? How do we fit into this idea of from the beginning? It is all believers everywhere, and many of those believers have come to faith thousands of years after the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Were you there in the beginning? I know a couple of you are older than me, but I don't think you're that much older than me. All passages apply to us, to those who believe. How can from the beginning apply to us? From the beginning of your faith is the easy answer, right? From the moment you have believed. But it is also something else. In the same way it applies to the disciples, though not in the way we've talked about yet this morning, but we have talked about it. There's one mystery that keeps creeping up in our text as we walk through John and through other books. Many mysteries, right? Life and death, and belief and unbelief, love. How do we get past the sins that hold us down? Many mysteries, and many of these are explained by merely being in the Word. The answers are here. What mystery would include both us and the apostles under the umbrella of from the beginning? One clue would be that phrase, in the beginning, are the very first words in our Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when we hear in the beginning, part of our focus is on the events on our pages, but also part of our focus should be on the beginning of all things. A couple things we know about in the beginning. In the very beginning, only God existed. In three persons, but only God. That's Scripture. The other thing that we know about in the beginning is the fact that before anything else ever existed, before the heavens and the earth, before us, God knew who would be His. God knew who would be chosen. God knew before the foundation of the world. Wrote down in the book of life, every name who will be saved. Every name who will believe, every name who will bear witness. It is the same thing. Your faith and your witness is always connected. Now, the mystery part is the book of life part, right? And God's sovereignty and God's choice and yet our choice, that's the mystery. But the plain to see part is that all who believe, all who were known from the beginning, will bear. No way around it. That is in our verses this morning. That is all across our scriptures. Faith alone in Jesus alone. But that faith does something in your life. It may not look like you running up to every single person you see and yelling the name of Jesus at them. That's probably not it. It may not look like you given a full-on gospel presentation in every conversation of your life. No one does that. It may just be your presence. How you hold yourself. How you act and how you speak in the world around you. It may just be your leading by example as Jesus leads you. That's no small thing in the world today. Everyone led by the things of the world today. Be the one led by Jesus, and not the fake Jesus that the world will tell you would embrace the sins of today. That's not it. We talk about these many influences in our life. One of these is this thing in our pockets, right? And all these apps we now long for and dive into. I've got a few of these social media apps, YouTube and other things. It seems like every version of the apps, of these apps, all have these quick videos you can get to, just clips of things. And the more you watch of a certain clip, there's an algorithm that just gives you more of that clip. So mine's like dog videos and some sports and some podcasters and some pastors. That's what I see as I scroll. I had a pastor, I'm going to use the air quotes pastor for this, come up, and it was a clip from the pulpit. And this pastor from the pulpit said Jesus would be an escort at the abortion clinics. That was their claim from the pulpit at this church. If we don't know what an escort is, it's the one that holds their hand as they enter the building and talks them into the abortion. That's evil.
Amen.
That's no pastor, and that's no description of Jesus, but that's the description that the world is receiving. Jesus will absolutely leave you to love, but it'll always be with the truth. That truth sometimes won't feel very good, right? But it is the truth. The point is that the faith you claim in Jesus will lead you to bear witness. That's what the text says. And it's not just something to look past as a mere suggestion, because this witnessing about the Son of God is tied to the Spirit of God. It's tied to needing the Spirit in order to be a witness, and tied to its definiteness. It is as written in stone to say that believers will witness as it is to say that the Holy Spirit will witness. They're both in this passage. If born again and made new, you will be a witness to the glories of God, to the world, and nothing is more glorious than what the Son was sent to do. The sinless in the place of the sinner, so the sinner could be saved. If that is the truth we lean into, then that is the truth the world needs from us. Bear witness. And I close this morning with a simple question. Do we bear witness? Individually, look at your life. Is it more than mere words? Is it more than Sunday morning? Collectively, take a look at this church and the church as a whole. Is it more than just mere words? Is it more than Sunday mornings? It must be, and it's not because the doing more things saves you. That's never it. You can never do enough to save yourself. That's the whole point of sending the Son. Did God get it wrong? Could you have gotten there on your own? Of course not. The flip side to that equation is also true. You can never be too far gone to be saved. The worst thing you have ever done, that thing that lingers in your mind, that thing that you have tossed everything at to make it go away, or maybe it's the thing you find yourself having to cling to, needing at all costs, whatever that is, it is not something that could ever, ever keep you from the Son. Repent and believe. Turn to the God that left His highest place to love you in your lowest moment. Turn to Him and then begin anew. So, why is the witnessing important if it is faith alone? The witnessing aspect of your faith is important because it is the required, intentional, undeniable fruit that always comes when you are in the vine. When you are truly His, it is not the saving, but it is the proof. Why else is witnessing so important? Because there is a whole world of unbelief that can only be reached, made new, transformed by this gospel we hold dear. Can only be reached in the darkness by the true light, and that light, that gospel, must come from those who believe. Must come from the church. There is a whole world waiting to hear, and how can they hear if no one carries the good news? That's Paul. It is on us. It is on you. Will we bear witness? How's your own walk this morning? You need encouragement in the valley? Come pray for that today. You need to profess faith for the very first time? Then simply believe in the Lord Jesus. He is who He says He is. And you will be saved. Come and profess that today. What is on your heart this morning? Who is on your heart? Have you been a witness? Who needs your witness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning, that even when we lean into just a few of Your words, we can see the vastness of Your glory in them. Father, we thank You for the sending of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You that He paved the way that could never be paved on our own. Father, we thank You for the sending of the Holy Spirit, not to just be around and near, but to be within. Father, help us answer the question this morning, do we have this faith? If the answer is yes, then help us have the courage and the boldness to lean into this Spirit to push out this faith into the world. There's a whole world that needs to hear the good news, and we know this. Help us be the ones to bring it. In Jesus' name I pray.